Welcome. This is Joanna Lindenbaum, and we've got a great topic training call for you today. The topic of today's Your Sacred Business program call is expand your community, expand your visibility. And we're going to be looking at principles and strategies for being able to reach more people. So before we dive into the material, let's take a couple moments, as we always do, to just get present, to arrive here, to get focused, and to get centered. So wherever you are, I recommend that you tune out and turn off any distractions. Turn away from the computer. Turn away from your list making, from any little last thing you were doing before getting on the call. Move away from the dishes, whatever it is. And make some time and space that is focused, where you are really putting your undivided attention into right now. So practice, what I'm really asking you to do is practice the very important entrepreneurial as well as just life skill of being present. The past and the future don't really exist in this moment. In this moment, what exists is now, the present. And with that, I invite you to close your eyes and begin to focus on the breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in exactly what you need today. And as you exhale, let go, release. Inhaling and literally through the in-breath, pulling in, attracting in, taking in that which you need. Maybe today it's energy or patience or creativity or balance. Whatever it is, take it in, breathe it in. And then exhaling and just letting go and waiting for the next cycle of the breath to come again. And as you breathe in this way, see that in this moment, in just the right here, right now, you have everything that you need. You have your breath. Your heart is beating. You have presence. All is well in this moment. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you now to reflect upon this last week. So think back to last Thursday and where you were last Thursday and what was happening for you a week ago today. And just in your mind, review this last week. Review last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just each day. And as you review the week, I want you to note for yourself the moments in this last week or the actions that you took in this last week, or the experiences that you've had in this last week that are noteworthy, that have been celebrations, that have maybe been forward movement. Maybe you took an action that you never took before. or maybe it was a joyous moment or a peaceful moment that you had. Maybe you learned something that was really important for your progress. Maybe just something amazing happened and unfolded. Maybe you took in a new client or got a great testimonial, whatever it is. Just allow yourself to find a moment or two or three over the last 7 days where you can just really rest upon and celebrate and give thanks for. Taking one more moment with your celebration. And then together we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then with that, allowing your eyes to flutter open. Beautiful. So one housekeeping piece that I want to mention, actually two housekeeping pieces that I want to mention before we move forward. The first is, as part of your membership for this program, for the Your Sacred Business program, if you remember, I gifted you all with a special ticket to come to Be Seen, which is a day-long event that I'm hosting in New York in July. And this is the second year that I'm doing Be Seen. And Be Seen is all about increasing your visibility. And it's an amazing day. We get to be in person together for a full day in community. And during this day, we are going to do inner work. It's going to be very experiential. There's going to be a lot of learning and growing to remove the blocks, the fear, the resistance in your way to making yourself more visible. And then during this day, we also are going to just roll our sleeves up and get down to business with some more concrete pieces in addition to what you're being given here in this program around creating visibility for yourself. It's an immense, immense day. And for those of you in the program that have done other programs with me before, even some of you I think maybe have went to Be Seen last year, you know just the incredible value of being together live in person and in community. And you know the magic that happens when we come together. I'm told time and time again that the experience of learning with me and being facilitated by me in person is just you come out of it a different person. So you'll be getting invites for that soon, and for you and to bring a friend as well. So be on the lookout in your inboxes to save that date. For those of you that might be closer to North Carolina than New York, I can't say for sure, but I think I'm going to be planning something here in North Carolina as well. So you'll be getting details on that. I really hope that you can come. I'm giving you guys first dibs to RSVP for this event before I put it out to the public. And again, I'm inviting you guys as my guests. So please mark your calendars. It's going to be July 27th, and I really hope you can come. The second piece that I wanted to mention today is I know that via Ning and then through also emails that are being sent, there are a lot of requests for for both Coach Darcy and I to look over copy that you're writing, to look over your scripts for your enrollment conversations, to look over just various pieces of longer scripting or copy. And what I want to just mention is that Coach Darcy and I have been sort of doing it just as a gift to you, to all of you. It's that level of support isn't really part of one of the components of this program. So I just want to let you know what we are giving you as you're asking for copy. We're not going in depth. Okay, we're giving you a couple of pointers and tips to go farther with it, but it's really up to you to then come and bring it up in our Q&A time to go farther. I do have other programs, more advanced programs and programs with additional support where you receive a lot more individual attention, personal attention, and also just that opportunity to get that more in-depth feedback on your scripting, on your presentations, on your copy, on your registration pages, all of that. And over the next few weeks, I will for sure be giving you information about how to take advantage of those opportunities if you're interested. So we'll definitely make some time to look at some of that in the coming weeks. Awesome. So with that, let's jump straight into the topic of the day, which is expanding your community, expanding your visibility. So why are we looking at this? Why are we even looking at the topic? Or let me even take that a step further. What does it even mean to expand your community and expand your visibility? Well, up until now, we've really in this program been looking at and targeting those folks that are already in your community, right? Your first and second tier folks, people that you know in various ways, whether they're friendships or family or colleagues or current clients or past clients. Whatever it is. We haven't yet spoken about third tier, which we will actually be speaking about in a couple of weeks. Your third tier are also in your community. That's sort of your greater community, like if you have a newsletter community or your Facebook community, for example. Those are people that are also in your sphere. They've already heard about you. And it's absolutely vital when you are growing your business and marketing your business to focus first on what's closest to you, right? So to focus first on who's in your community. And that's why we divided who's into your community into these three tiers, first, second, and third. And you've been really working your way through your current community thus far in this program and offering your offerings to those folks and bringing them into your offerings. But here's the thing. While your first and second and third tier can get you pretty far, it can really help you get things going or get things restarted. And while you for sure always want to focus on who's in front of you first, the other piece here is that if you are constantly just focusing on your already established community without taking action to expand your community, to bring more people in, and then they either filter into the first tier, the second tier, and the third tier, if you aren't taking action to fill those, what's often referred to as those pipelines to you, then at a certain point, You're going to feel like, well, I've been marketing to the same people over and over. I've been making my calls to action and my offerings to the same people over and over, and you know, they're kind of exhausted. So what do I do now? Where do I turn now? Right? So we don't want that to happen. What we want for you is to have a constant and steady flow of new people coming into your community, so that you have a constant and steady flow of ideal clients to make your offerings to. So that's what we're really going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at different avenues for being able to find and then attract in your ideal clients, different avenues to attract more visibility to you, so that you always have people that are fresh in your community ready and waiting to hear what you have to offer. Now, we're going to be looking today, as I said, I've got a lot of content for you, and we're going to be looking at a number of different marketing avenues that are going to help you expand your community. What I want to say now, and I'm going to remind you of this again at the end of our call today, is that I don't expect you to, nor do I want you to jump in to taking action on all of these marketing avenues at once. If you were to do that, you would probably crash and burn pretty quickly. So what we're really talking about here is adding one or two at most, marketing avenues at a time, like every 2 to 3 months, and really beginning to master the marketing avenues that you add on so that they're really effective for you, because it's going to take some time to master them. Now, depending on where you're at in your business, because some of you are just starting and some of you are quite established, you may already have some of these marketing avenues in place. So then your choice is, do I want to go deeper with the ones that I have, or am I ready to add some more on? This isn't about quantity of marketing avenues. And this is a big mistake that I often see people make, and that's why I'm really underscoring it. In order to be successful and create a thriving business, you don't need a ton of different marketing avenues. What's required is a couple of marketing avenues that are real quality, that you're really leveraging, that you're really mastering, that you're really doing persistently and consistently, right? You've heard me say persistent and consistent already a number of times in this program. It's not good. It's not really going to work to do something once, right, to send one newsletter out or one notice about an event or go to one networking event. The way that a marketing avenue works is when you really commit to it persistently and consistently. So for most of you, it's not going to make sense to add 5 new marketing avenues because you're not going to be able to do them persistently and consistently. So as we move through today, I want you to pick the one or two that really resonate for you right now, that really makes sense for your business right now. And then you can always add others more later. The other thing that I want to mention about the marketing avenues that will help you expand your community that we'll be looking at today is that this isn't comprehensive. So I mean that in two ways. The first way is we're going to be looking at some marketing avenues today. We're going to be looking at others as we move forward in the program, but there's certainly numerous, numerous, numerous marketing avenues that can help you expand your community. For the purpose of this program, I've chosen some of the most effective ones for this community. The other thing I want you to know is because we're going to be talking about four marketing avenues on this call, I'm not going, you know, real in depth in any of them. I'm giving you an introduction and then some instructions and really some tips for best practices. Enough to get you started, for you to start experimenting, for you to have information to up-level what you already have. But then as you move into them, more questions are going to come up for you. And that's totally normal, and you can bring those forward on Q&A calls. And again, when we talk about resources for moving forward, I can tell you about other resources I have for going in depth into particular marketing avenues. Beautiful. So with that, the first thing I want to ask you before we look at these marketing avenues is, how does it feel to you when you think about being visible and vulnerable to people out there that you may not know? So just take a moment and close your eyes and see that you are expanding your community. See that you're getting known. See that who you're able to touch and affect and help, see that that circle is expanding. And just notice for yourself, there's no wrong answer here, just notice for yourself how that feels for you. What I have noticed over years of connecting with many, many, many different leaders and entrepreneurs is that the idea of being visible for your brilliance and for your work and expanding your community is both incredibly pleasurable, as well as it brings up fear or some discomfort or some anxiety. And what I notice for most entrepreneurs is like those two are living together in the same place, the joy, the pleasure, the excitement of the visibility, as well as the fear of it. So just notice for yourself if that's the case. Now, the reason why this is important, the reason why I'm bringing this up as we look at these tools for expanding your community is because if there is some of that tension happening inside of you when it comes to being visible and vulnerable, that tension can stop you in your tracks, right? It can just stop you dead in your tracks from doing the outreach and putting the marketing avenue in place. And a number of you have already seen this so far with your tier one and your tier two outreaches, right? And so it can happen here as well. So I bring this up just to bring the awareness to it. So, because when you are aware, then you're at a point of choice. You can choose to continue to sabotage or resist, or you can choose to move through it, right, and with it, and do what you want to do. So I want you to just be aware as we move through this call today, and then as you move on to implement whatever marketing strategies you choose to implement for your work and for your business. So the first marketing avenue that I want to take a look at today is engaging and creating referral partners. So let me explain what referral partners are. I'm using this term in a very particular way. They're not just like random referrals from friends. That's great, right? That would be your second tier. But what I mean by referrals are other professionals that are either in your field or that are in a field that is complementary to yours, that know about your work and about your offerings, that know who your ideal client is, and who let their community know about you, and who let their clients or their customers or their, you know, community members know if your offerings are appropriate and valuable to them. So let me give you an example of this. So for example, let's say that you are a yoga instructor. So referral partners for you might be, number one, other yoga instructors, right? Because perhaps there are other yoga instructors out there whose schedules are full, and they're referring new clients out to other practitioners. So you want them to know about your work and that you've got time open in your schedule. Or let's say that you have a specialty, you're a yoga instructor, and you've got a specialty in working with long-term pain, right? Just pain in the body that has just been happening over years. Well, there might be other yoga instructors in your area that have other expertises, right? But when they get an inquiry from a client, someone who's had back pain or shoulder pain for the last decade, that might not be their ideal client, right? But that's your ideal client. So oftentimes we tend to think that other people in our industry are quote-unquote competition, right? They would never refer anyone to us, like we're not going to engage with that person, I'm not going to connect with that person, we're competition. But I highly encourage you to look at this as collaboration instead of competition. When you move through your business from a competition perspective, then you can really end up isolating yourself and cutting yourself off from opportunity. But when you think about it as collaboration, right, so we just go back to something we were talking about even on our first call of this program, that each one of us has a sacred contract with our ideal client. Right? If we go back to that idea, then collaborating with other people in our field makes perfect sense, right? Because someone who you're contracted to may come to you through that other practitioner and vice versa. So that's one example of what a referral partner can be, but it doesn't necessarily need to be someone in your field. So let's go back to that example of the yoga instructor. Let's say you're a yoga instructor. Well, who else, what other types of professionals might make good referral partners for you? What other types of professionals might have a similar ideal client to you, but they help their clients in a different way than you do? So, for example, for a yoga instructor, perhaps physical therapists might make a great referral partner. Or perhaps meditation teachers might make great referral partners. Or perhaps Reiki practitioners might make great referral partners for that yoga instructor, right? Because it feels that you're serving similar folks. but you're doing different things. So that's what a referral partner is. So why is this such a great marketing avenue? And a marketing avenue that can really help expand your community, expand your visibility, open up that flow of ideal clients to you. Because when you connect with an aligned referral partner who gets to know you and gets to know your work and what your work is about and who you serve best, their word to their existing clients or their existing community is golden, right? Their clients or their community respects what they have to say and who they are promoting or who they're suggesting. So if they can promote you or suggest you to others, it's a much stronger way of bringing someone new into your community or someone new as a prospect, you know, bringing in a new lead, than just, you know, somebody random out there happening to read your website, right? When you have that testimony from someone, that just helps so much more. So what do the best types of referral partnerships look like? The best types of referral partnerships, number one, as I said, are with two people that are aligned, right? Someone who respects your work and someone who you respect their work. Also, when you're taking on a referral partner, it's not just about their work, but you kind of have to really trust them, right? You see that they do what they say they're going to do, right? So if they say they're going to refer, they're going to refer. They show up on time for, you know, a call you might have, right? So you want to align, you know, through the business, through the work, but you also want to feel aligned just through who they are and who their habits are, and how trustworthy you feel they are. What I find a common mistake that can happen with referral partners is that two practitioners will get together. So we can use, you know, the case of like the yoga instructor and the massage therapist, for example. They'll get together, there's synergy in the conversation, they really like each other, they both want to refer clients to each other, but then what happens is they just exchange business cards, right? You give my business cards out to your people, I'll give your business cards out to my people. That is not an effective way of being a referral partner, because what ends up happening is that those business cards either end up in your referral partner's bag for a couple of months before they get out, or maybe they end up in their office, but they're not actually giving the referral. They're kind of just, it's just that your cards or your brochures or whatever it is are just laid out in the office area. That's not so effective, right? That doesn't have such a strong resonance. If you're going to take the time to create referral partnerships, create ones that are really going to work, are really going to be powerful, and are really going to be effective. So what I recommend instead is if you connect with someone who seems like they would make a great referral partner, you can say to each other, hey, I'm going to identify three or four or five individual people in my community that I think would be a perfect match for you, and I'm going to send individual emails out to each of those people, and I'm even going to CC you on those. I'm going to let those people know about you, CC you, and let you guys take the relationship from there, right? And then that person can do the same for you. That's one example of a strong referral partnership. Another way you could do it is you can say, all right, I'm going to send your information out to a group of my folks. And you can do it that way as well. I always prefer, if you can, the individual connections. Because whenever you do something individually as opposed to sending a mass email out to a group, it's more powerful, it's more effective. People are more willing to pay attention and to respond because they see that that email or whatever, if it's a phone call, whatever it is just to them. Now, there's another very effective and powerful way. Well, let me back up for a second. So how do you go about even making these connections, right? Like, how do you find these people? What do you do to begin creating relationships with referral partners? Well, what I like to do is, number one, identify the types of referral partners that you're looking for, right? So we looked at the example of the yoga instructor. If you're a real estate broker, perhaps referral partners are insurance brokers or home decorators, designers, or landscape designers, right? There are other people that come in contact with folks that are looking to buy and sell homes. If you're an artist, perhaps referral partners are framers, as an example, or other artists, or I'm not sure, art supply stores, but, you know, what would referral partners look like for you there, right? So whatever you are, whatever type of work that you do, number one, you want to identify what kind of person would make a great referral partner for you. Number two, then you want to say, okay, who in my circle, who is it that I already know fits into one of these categories, right? You want to start with those folks first. And you can just send those people an email or pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, I really love the work that you're doing in the world, and this is what I'm up to. And I have a sense that there would be some synergy between us. I have a sense that we might be able to help grow each other's work, grow each other's business, grow each other's community. Would you be open to having a phone conversation or to getting together for tea so that we can talk about what that would look like, how we could do that, right? So you want to start there, but then you want to go further. You can literally do a web search or open up the phone book, and you could look for example, massage therapists in your area. Or you could look for, it doesn't have to be necessarily in your area, if the offerings, if your offerings aren't just local based, right? But I really encourage you to get creative here. You know, who are different types of people that you could partner with, that you could cross-refer, that you could cross-promote? And don't be shy about getting in touch with someone that you don't know yet. I've done this many, many times, and I've had people that I don't know get in touch with me. And if you craft your introduction in a way where you can show that you've really done your research, you've really looked at this person's business or community, you really click with it, you're really inspired by their work. You know, if you really let them know these things, tell them why you think you'd be aligned, you'd be surprised by how many people would really respond to that. Now, there's another way of partnering up with people that's very effective, and it's a little bit different than this referral model that I've been sharing with you. This marketing avenue, it's another way of expanding your community, is via joint venture partnerships, or it's commonly called JVs. Now, JVs, joint venture partnerships, are similar to the referral partner model and definitely intersect. So what a JV is, again, it's another business owner or community leader or someone who's got, you know, a larger circle of folks that's aligned with you, right? And again, that definition of aligned is that you really jive with the work they do and vice versa, and you're reaching out to similar folks. You have some, your ideal client is somewhat similar, even though you might be doing different sorts of things. So with a JV partnership, it's a little bit different because the referral partnership is really about, okay, let me make these particular referrals. Let me get in touch with client X or client B or this person that I know, and let me make this referral. A JV partnership is more about, let me let my entire community know about you, right? So, for example, let's say that you're hosting a teleclass, right, like a one-time teleclass, or let's say you're hosting a workshop and you want to get more visibility for this workshop and you want to bring more people into this teleclass or this workshop that you're doing, you could connect with a JV partner, another entrepreneur who has their own community, and they could send out an email to their community about your free event. And in this email, they're really elevating you. And this is a big key to any kind of referral partner or any kind of JV partner, right? As I said before, your word is golden with your community. So if you're going to promote someone, you want to really elevate this person that you're promoting. You don't want to be wishy-washy, like, oh, go to this event, it looks cool. You want to be able to say, you know, Karen is putting on this event. I know Karen to be incredibly intuitive or incredibly skilled at what she's doing, or her work is, you know, just amazing. This is what happened for me when I read her book, or, you know, whatever it is. You really want to be elevated here, and your JV partner would let your community know either about your event or possibly your program or even just about your website that you've just launched or new, you know, whatever it is. And they would invite those people to sign up with you or to get in touch with you. Now, what's important to know is that for a JV partnership, what I have found to be most effective is for someone else to promote something for you. And again, this is different than the referral partner, right? It's different than a massage therapist saying, hey, to, you know, to one of his clients, hey, you really want to check out such and such yoga instructor. She can really help you with X, Y, and Z. So this is where the JV partnership is different. Because it's more of a general invitation, it's to an entire community as opposed to individuals, what I found to be most effective is to ask your JV partners to promote something that is either free or low cost. The reason being, if it's not that individual communication, but more of a group kind of communication, it's easier to invite someone into something that's low investment to begin with than to something that's higher investment. And we're going to be talking on our next topic call in 2 weeks about how to use like a free teleclass or a free presentation to then bring people solidly to become your clients and your customers. you know, a free workshop or a low-cost workshop can be a marketing avenue. It's part of your funnel. We're even going to talk a little bit about that today as well. Now, again, what's so important for JV partnerships, just like referral partnerships, is that you want to feel like the person that you're partnering with is trustworthy. You want to feel like they're on the ball. I can tell you too many stories from when I was just starting out, and even recently, because sometimes things just fall through the cracks, where I've partnered with someone and I've put their information out, and you know, I've been on the ball doing, you know, exactly what I said I was going to do, and then that other person, they don't send the information out, or it's like last minute, they're like, oh my gosh, I've been so disorganized, and I know I was supposed to send your email out today, but I can't get it out, right? So, you know, sometimes it's unavoidable, but I highly recommend when you're connecting in with a potential partner to really ask them questions. You know, I think of it as almost like a two-way interview. You want to just really get a sense that this person is going to do what they say, that they're going to follow up, that they're really committed to the partnership. Now, we could do 3 full training calls on joint venture partnerships. There's a lot of ins and outs to JVs and a lot of different ways of doing them. And really, you know, you can use creativity here. There's a lot of different ways that you can cross-promote. But one thing that is very important in any kind of joint venture partnership is that both parties benefit. So let me tell you what I mean by that. For most people, if they're not your friends, they're not going to partner with you just because it's like a good deed to do to promote someone. For most folks, they're going to partner with you for one of 2 reasons. Either because the partnership will help, will bring them money, or will bring them more visibility. So what I mean by that is, if you're partnering with someone, and let's say you're doing an event and they're putting information out about your event, they're going to be wondering, well, what's in it for me? Well, what's in it for them is either visibility, right? So you may then say, and then I'll promote your event. So that's one way of gaining visibility. But they could get visibility in another way, too. Like they if they're going to promote your event to their community, it doesn't have to be an eye for an eye. It's not like you promote your event, I'll promote your event kind of thing. You promote my event. But you could look at it a different way. This person is promoting your event. So therefore, at your event, perhaps they speak for 5 minutes, or their logo is somewhere, or, you know, there's some other machination of it, right? So that's one way of compensation, is visibility. But another way is through money, through income generation. So you might say to a JV partner, if you promote this event, any one of your community members that eventually signs up for my program or buys my product, you'll receive 10% of each of those sales that come from your community, right, as an example. That's a win-win situation. So when you are creating these joint venture partnerships, you want to think, what's in it for the other person? How can I either give them visibility, or how can I either help them generate income? One of the things that I love about creating referral partners and creating joint venture partnerships is that not only are they incredible ways and tools for expanding your community and your visibility, but it's also really fun because, you know, oftentimes with entrepreneurship or leadership or, you know, whatever it is, the work that you do, it can sometimes feel a little lonely, right? If you're not, like, working at a company and you've got, you know, a whole office of people around you, if you're working in your home or, you know, whatever it is, it can sometimes feel lonely, and you don't have those built-in colleagues in the way that you do in companies. Now, of course, programs like this one, and they're even – you know, like other masterminds that I offer, other masterminds out there, that helps begin to create community and create colleagues. So that's one way of creating colleagues. But these joint venture partnerships and referral partners are another way of having colleagues, of having other people to talk business with and talk shop with, and just to make it even more enjoyable for you. So that's just a perk of these marketing avenues that, at least for me, I find to be very, very valuable. Great. So let's move on to the next marketing avenue that I wanted to talk about today to help you expand your community, which is networking. networking can be really, really effective in bringing more folks in to know about your work. So what is networking? I know we've all heard of networking, but just the way that I'm defining it is putting yourself into a situation, placing yourself in a situation where you are exposed to potential ideal clients and where you'll have an opportunity to connect with them and talk with them and possibly then follow up and invite them into an enrollment conversation with you or invite them into your community or something like that. Now, networking does not have to be what some might just think of traditional networking, like a networking group, right? Because I know a lot of people just have a lot of resistance or roll their eyes or just have a lot of around going to these like 7:30 breakfast meetings with other entrepreneurs. And in fact, I've never gone to one of those because that's just not my cup of tea. Like, and it could be yours. I'm not putting it down, and it's great that, you know, that option is out there. If you're the kind of person who will want to go early morning, other entrepreneurs, you put your name tag on and everybody has a couple minutes. Everybody in the group has a few minutes to talk about what they do, and then, you know, you cross-refer each other. That is a great way. But that's not the only way, and that's really my point here, is that networking can be vast, right? If you don't like that kind of situation, you could go to a wine tasting class, right? If you like wine and your ideal client might be a wine connoisseur, a movie connoisseur, sports person, right? You can find ideal clients in those places. You can network via volunteer opportunities. That's been a big place of networking for me. Volunteering is very important to me, especially when it comes to helping women in need. And I've met other volunteers in these volunteer situations that have become clients of mine and have referred other people to me. Another great networking situation for me, not for everyone, again, you want to pick the networking situation that's right for you, but for me, is to go to a birthday party. Whenever I'm invited to a birthday party and I'm out and there's new people there, and because I'm so passionate about my work, I inevitably always end up talking to one or two people who become a client in one way or another, right? So my point here is I wanted to open up for you this concept of networking. Networking can happen in so many different ways, in so many different places, and clubs, and churches, and synagogues, and, you know, whatever local community things, cafes, workshops you go to, whatever it is. But what's important is, just like we've been looking at in so many other ways in this program, what's important is that you find the networking environment that's aligned for you. So if you get all stiff when you have to put on a name tag and have a two-minute elevator speech, you may want to try it anyway just because it's good to stretch, but that really just may not be where you are at your best. A more casual atmosphere might be where at your best, or vice versa. So let me give you some more just good practices for if you're going to network. Oh, well, first let me tell you why networking is so important. Networking is important because it gives you access one-on-one to potential ideal clients. And that's so valuable, right? Because so often these days we don't leave our homes. Like, so much business is done through the computer, and that's great. Love online marketing, and we're going to do an entire call on online marketing. But we forget so often that there's such a higher energetic resonance when we're actually in person with someone, when we're face-to-face, when we're experiencing them. And that's why I think networking in person, getting out of your house and making it your business to, you know, get dressed up and see people and be with people and talk about your work to people and find out what they're up to and hear what their needs are, to do it face-to-face can be so, so powerful. So if you do choose networking as a marketing avenue that you want to add on to grow your business, what I think is really, really important to remember about networking is to not be scared, particularly if you're someone who feels fear around getting out there and being with people, because I find that that's the number one thing that holds people back from networking. So if you are interested in networking, as you know, you're hearing me talk about this, but you can tell that there's something that's sort of holding you back, again, I want you to take a look at what's my resistance here, what's my fear, and really use the tools from the Befriend Your Fear module that you did with Coach Darcy a couple weeks back to work through them. Here's the other thing that's really important about networking, and this goes, as you've heard me say, for any marketing avenue. It's important to be persistent and consistent with your networking. So let me tell you what I mean by persistence and consistency with your networking. Let's say you identify a certain club or networking group, right, that you think would be good for you. And that group meets the first Tuesday of each month. Going this next Tuesday is great. Great, 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 great start. But what will be most effective is if you commit to showing up every time that meeting is held for at least 6 months. Because one time you might get to know this one or that one, but if you show up consistently, you show that you want to be involved, you want to get to know people, you're committed to it, people see you over and over again, and that's when a relationship can occur. Remember, all marketing is about creating relationships. If you want to create a relationship, it's important to be persistent and consistent. The other way that it's important to be persistent and consistent when it comes to networking is when you meet someone, let's say you go to a party or you go to an event or whatever it is, and you meet someone who you just love to work with. It just seems like they're so ideal. Being persistent and consistent in that situation means following up. So sending them an email or calling them soon after the event to set up a time to connect about your offering. Now, what I often hear from folks is, well, I want to play a little hard to get. I don't want to seem desperate, so I'm not going to email this person right away, or I'm not going to call them right away. That's a mistake. Playing hard to get, all it does is more time elapses between that in-person connection when you've activated a relationship and an excitement about connecting further. So you want to strike while the iron is hot. You really want to follow up, and you may have to follow up twice. Some people don't respond right away. The other piece that's really important when it comes to networking is to go to places that are aligned for you, right? So we already touched on this, but just to give you a little more, you don't want to go to a place where you walk in the room, like if you walk in the room and you just feel like, ugh, these people are not my people, I'm just not jiving with what's going on here, don't go to that event again or to that meeting again. Find places where the people there are your people. You can connect with them. They're your ideal client. It's so important, or else it's really just a waste of your time. And that is our call for today. It has been an absolute joy to be here with you today and to share this material with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you do your homework. I hope that you stay on track, and I can't wait until we connect again. Have a wonderful day.